Tonight, we share it together. Tonight, we remind ourselves of what this day is. Tonight, let us pray. Father, we come together not necessarily for what is joy, but what must be remembered. We come together for what must be kept in our minds. We come together tonight for what must be always known, the price your Son paid. Watch over us, Father. Bind us through this service on this Good Friday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight we will share. Tonight we will see an adaptation of an old story put into reality for the sermon, for the presentation titled Three Different Views. Tonight we will look at our Savior from three different perspectives. Simple perspectives. In years past, we have endeavored to do something fantastic on this evening to remind us. But in today's world, where everything moves at such a speed, we cannot always keep up with it. Tonight, we come back to a simpler, quiet time from three different views, from a story from long ago. It seems that there was a valley. And in the valley was a town with all the normal shops, a little church, people, and life. And overlooking this valley was a large hill that had upon it a forest. And at the front end of the forest grew three trees, very young and very close together. As they sat on the top of the hill, as young saplings looking down, they started to think about what great intent they would be. They talked to each other. They discussed their hopes and dreams and what they saw themselves becoming. During this conversation, the first little tree, deciding it would take the lead, looked up at the stars, took stock of the beauty and glory and jewels and crowns there, and spoke to the other two trees by saying,
"Someday I hope to be a treasure chest. I want to be filled with gold, silver, and precious gems. I will hold some of the greatest treasures that mankind could ever think the best. I will decorate with the intricate carvings, and everyone will see my beauty. Everyone that sees me will love me, and my beauty will live forever. I am destined to be for beauty above all the trees. I will be chosen first and above all."
The other two trees watched as the first little tree, made its declaration of greatness and how it would be holding the greatest treasures, knowing that its wood would shape a box that would hold things that were only of the richest to mankind. A tree this fine was built for that. The other two, after watching that, decided that they would boast and brag about what they would become. And the second tree, while listening, looked out at the stream that was feeding the town, the small river, and watched where it flowed off into infinite ending, and decided it would speak about what that tree would become.
"I am the greatest tree in the forest. Someday I will be a mighty ship. I will be shaped into the only ship strong enough to handle the worst of the seas that could throw me. My lines and beauty will cause all to stop and stare at me. And when I am docked, only the richest of the rich will step on my deck. I will take kings and queens across the seas and sail to the far corners of the earth. Everyone will feel safe in me because of my strength of my hull, and I will be chosen first and foremost above all.
To become a great sailing ship was the desire of the second little sapling, the little tree. To be the greatest, to have himself shaped into a boat that would carry only the finest, and nothing less would settle him. Nothing. Now two declarations have been made, almost in human nature. I will do the best. I will be first. I will carry the most. The third little tree, as she looked down into the valley and listened to the declarations of the first two, watched everybody moving about, watched the shops with their busy lights, watched the bustle and the hustle in the town. The third little tree looked down and made her declaration to be the strongest of all.
I am the greatest and the best, and so I want to stay right here and grow to be the tallest and straightest tree in the forest. I'm going to look down on all and show my strength to not bend and break in the weather, and to not bark, and to have bark that will never succumb to a blade out of anyone who comes. People will look up to my branches as I stand on this hill and think of the heavens and how close I am to reaching them. I will be the greatest tree of all time, and people will always remember me. I will be chosen first and foremost above all as the greatest reminder of the forest for all time.
To touch the heavens, to be the tree that stands as a monument to greatness, to be the tree that everyone will look up to put itself above all, to put itself above the forest, to make itself known and great. Time passed. Years passed. The rain came. The winter came. The spring came. The summer came. Over and over and over again. And day after day, the little trees grew. Not saplings anymore as they continued on. They continued to talk to each other about what they would be. One tree to become a great treasure chest. One tree to become a great tall ship. And one tree to stand and lord over all. But finally, they had grown to maturity. They had grown so large that they were now noticed. And inevitably, the woodcutters entered the forest. The first woodcutter looked at the first tree and said, "This tree is so beautiful. This is the tree. This tree is perfect. This tree has everything I could ever want." And leaning back with his axe, he began to work until he fell the first tree. And as the first tree fell, it thought to itself, "Now I shall be made into the most beautiful chest. I shall hold wonderful treasure." The tree was felled, loaded, and hauled away to the shop, where it suddenly found that life perhaps had changed.
When the first tree arrived at the carpenter's, I was surprised to be made into a simple feed box for animals. I was placed in a barn and filled with hay so the animals could eat. It was dark and smelled. Everything was dirty, and no one would see my glory and beauty, for no one would dare step in this place, except the lowest of all the low, to feed and take care of the animals. This was not what I had dreamed of or played for, and I was very disappointed.
I've often fancied myself as somewhat of a woodworker, and when you hear the story of the first tree and where it went, trees are prized for their grain and their flow and their ability to be turned into wonderful objects. And yet this tree, so full of desire and hope, so full of boastfulness and pride, was turned into a trough and stuck in a dirty, smelly barn. The second woodcutter, looking at the second tree, said, "This tree is the strongest tree in the forest. This tree is perfect for me and what I intend to build from it." And so with his axe shining, the second tree fell. And as the second tree fell, it thought to itself, "Now I shall sail the mighty waters. I shall be strong, and I shall finally become a ship made ready to carry only the kings, queens, and riches of the land." But the second tree, as it was taken to the shipyard,
"I wasn't made into a large ship. I became a plain fishing boat. It was not made into a tall ship of beauty. I would not hold kings and queens in the world's greatest riches. I was only given enough strength to carry a few fishermen. I would be made to carry simple tasks and left to smell like fish, serving only the lowest of the low. I had not become what I hoped, prayed, and begged for to become. I was left alone and crushed."
To be a fishing boat, to do the simple task of carrying fishermen out and back. No riches, no wealth, no kings, no queens. Made from a place of beauty into a place of dirt, grime, filth, serving only the lowest of the low. But the third tree, she felt her heart sink when the woodcutter looked at her, encircled her, and studied her. She had grown tall and straight. She pointed so bravely toward the heavens that she stood above all the other trees in the forest. But the woodcutter never even looked up after measuring, never took note of her beauty, and simply said, "Any kind of tree is all I really need. I guess this is the one that'll do." And with a dull axe that had no shine, he began to beat the third tree into submission until the third tree fell.
The third tree. I was standing in the sunlight on the hill. I stood at the top of the mountain. People looked up at me, revered me, until the woodman showed cut up into large, ugly beams. He never spoke. He never said anything, but simply worked. Then I was left in the shop, in the side, covered with dust. I was then left all alone in the darkness. I will not understand why my beauty and greatness was removed.
So the years go by. Three saplings grown into three trees. Three trees now not understanding what had happened to them. Their hopes, their dreams crushed. Their appointments with their own self-worth taken away. They did not become the treasure box to hold riches or the boat to carry kings and queens or the tree left to stand on the hill giving everyone its beauty to view. They laid dormant in their jobs, one in the barn, one in the water, and one cast aside in a dark corner of a shop. But God sees, God plans, and God gives us our direction for His joy, for His pleasure, for His purpose. Jeremiah 29:11 states, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." If only those trees would have known that, perhaps they would understand what was yet to come.
Finally, one day a man and a woman came into the barn to stay because there was no room anywhere else. The woman was with child and it was time for the baby to be born. The woman gave birth to a baby boy while she was there, and she placed him in the hay in my plain, simple feed box. The barn was strangely silent and became warm and full. The man wished he could have made a proper crib for the baby, but this feed box would have to do. Somehow I felt the importance of this event and knew that I had indeed held the greatest treasure of all time.
Scripture tells us of the nasty wooden feed trough that would become the greatest treasure box of all time. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." The sapling that destined itself to become the greatest treasure box had indeed fulfilled God's plan and held the baby who was to become the man who was to die on this day to save our sins. But the story continues with the second tree.
Some years later, a group of men got into a small fishing boat made from all my timber. Though I had spent years carrying fish, this group was different. They used me different. After speaking to so many people, he was tired and fell fast asleep so peacefully. A great storm came up, and the second tree did not think he was strong enough to keep the men safe. I was not able to hold back the storm much longer and was afraid this was the end, my end. The other men in the fishing boat were frightened and about to be lost when they woke the man up who was asleep and said, and he said, "Peace." And the storm suddenly stopped. I was amazed, as the others were. Suddenly, all these years of my hurt and pain, I knew I was indeed carrying the King of Kings.
Scripture records these words. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, would you care if we drown?" He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet! Be still." The wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Our Savior, in a boat, in a storm, as he is completing his time, begins to teach the power. The little tree that became the boat now has grown to the point where it understands exactly what it holds in its very power. It held the King of Kings, the desire, the riches, the most wonderful, complete Savior that could ever be. This boat had in its arms and carried him. But then things change. Scripture records it as such. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting in the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message: "Don't have anything to do with this innocent man. I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they all shouted louder, "Crucify him!" When Pilate saw he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood. It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. He had Jesus flogged. He had Jesus beat. He allowed the Romans to take what they do best, which was torture, and beat him, and take the greatest pleasure in hurting our Savior. The Bible continues, "Then the governor's soldiers took him into the praetorium and gathered a whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him, they put a scarlet robe on him, and then they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. 'Hail, King of the Jews,' they said. They spit on him. They took the staff and struck him on the head again and again and again. And after they had mocked him, they took off the robe, put his own clothes on him, and they led him away to crucify him." Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults, shaking their head and saying, 'You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself.' In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him heaped insults. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus had cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' When some of those standing there heard this, they said, 'He's calling Elijah.' Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He put it with it wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. When the centurion and those who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, 'Surely he was the Son of God.'" And into this scene, we find the third tree.
"Then came the day, sunlight poured into my dark shed. I thought the time had come for my greatest and strength to be revealed. Men came in laughing and joking, and I felt my shame was over, and I would be put to the greatest use to lift all mankind. I was shaped into something called a cross, and carried from the darkness into a crowd to please them, I thought. I was carried through the streets as the people mocked the man who was carrying me. He wore thorns made into a crown and a robe, and was badly bruised and bleeding. And people spat on him, and they jeered him. He struggled to carry me, but never, never made a sound of hatred against them. Who was this man?" "He came to a stop on top of a small hill, and into my wood he was nailed, nailed to me." Then they raised it into the air between two other crosses with what I was common thieves on them, and people called him the King of the Jews. They beat him, mocked him, and this king screamed out in agony and died. The earth roared beneath and the sky above me, and I shook. Was this it? I was to become great, and everyone was to look to me and revere me. Why was I here? And who was this man who bled and died against me? My shame was greater than I'd ever known. I was back in the dark room. Why?
Three different views, three different thoughts, three different directions. A baby born to be a king that calms the storms with just a few words, and a king that utters but a few more words. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus cries out to his Father, why are you letting me die? And when Jesus had cried out again, he gave up the ghost. Tonight we see our own destruction. Tonight we see our own greed. Tonight we see our own guilt. Tonight we see our own shame. Tonight we see every sin that we have committed laid onto the back of our Savior, and our debt is paid. Tonight, Jesus is dead.
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is asleep. Judas is betrayed. But Sunday is coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilified. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary is crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sundays are coming. It's right. The Romans beat my Jesus. They roll him in scars. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday is coming. It's right. See Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood dripping. His body stumbling. And his spirit's burning. But you see, it's only right. Sunday's coming. It's right. The world's winning. People are sinning. And evil's gripping. It's right. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's right. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's right. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know. It's only right. Sunday's coming. It's right. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father. Left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's right. But Sunday's coming. It's right. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My king yields his spirit. It's right. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has come, and Satan's just a laugh. It's Friday. Jesus is dead. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming.
Let us pray. Father, as we depart from this service, let us think about the three trees as ourselves, desiring greatness for ourselves, desiring glory for ourselves, desiring everything. Let us think about the three trees that found their directions radically changed into places they never wanted to be or go, not understanding. Let us think about the three trees who shaped, who lifted, who carried our Savior. And let us think about the three trees that held two criminals and our Jesus. As tonight, Jesus died for our sins. Bless us in this time and these thoughts, Father. In your precious Son, we give thanks. Amen.